them, what particular pieces of scripture continually speak to them, maybe over and over and over again. And so this one about Peter always speaks to me, because I think that I see a lot of myself in Peter, both in my impulsiveness and in my lack of courage sometimes, right? So I think that you know the old saying that that in foxholes there's no idiots, right? So I think sometimes that cry of me, oh, because I usually find myself having impulsively done something and then saying, oh God, help me. So many of us might catch some of our glimpses of ourselves and who Peter is for us today. These readings that we have today, all through ordinary time, I think they really do reveal in many ways who Jesus is for us, and who Jesus is not just for the church, but for us individually. The first reading that we have from Kings, as you know, the book of Kings is the chronicle of the people of Israel who were chosen by God in a special covenant that you and I inherited. And at one point they wanted to be like everybody else, and Yahweh kept saying to them, but you're not like everybody else. You're special to me, right? I have written my law in your heart. And so they're like, no, we want to be like everybody else. And so St. Teresa of Avila said that there's more tears shed over answered prayers than unanswered prayers, right? So God gives them kings, right? Yahweh. And so some of them were better than others, right? But they were human. And so this book of Kings is the chronicle of those moments in which the people of Israel were relying more on human kinds of intervention than on God. And so we have this wonderful juxtaposition of how God really whispers sometimes to us in the scene that we have from this reading of Kings, and how God in the midst of tumult maybe comes to us more forcefully. And as I was reflecting on these last night, I was thinking a little bit about my own journey, and maybe find your own way into this, a wonderful experience that the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius teaches us, that when we reflect on the scriptures or meditate, that we place ourselves in the scriptures, that we see ourselves in the element of what we're hearing and reading. I think it's a wonderful imagery. It's the use of all of our senses as we attain to the experience of God in our life. And so I was thinking about that, and I was reading this scripture, and I was praying about my vocation. I had always wanted to be a priest, and I tried it earlier on. I went away to prep school, prep seminary when I was 14 years old, and it was a great time for me. I'm smiling because it was I had a 14-year-old at home now who's going to Vermont by herself. And I said, maybe we should get you some pepper spray and a small sidearm. She's like, that's not really good. She said, did you buy me my gun? Only because she's going to go by herself. And I think, boy, what a different time it was. But anyway, it didn't take, and I left. And I'm kind of glad I did. God always leads us, I think, where God wants us. So I had a pretty full career, and I was, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips, right? I thought I had arrived, and I was assistant professor of mental health and psychiatry at two medical schools, and I authored a degree, and I couldn't let go of this deep desire to want to serve God as a priest. And so I prayed over about a year and a half, and this scripture kept coming back to me about stepping out in faith, about getting out of the boat, about moving right, and about not being afraid. That's the only part I heard then, right? The other part where Peter started sinking, right? That came later. So there I was, and off I went, right? And thank God Scripture only tells us that we have to sell our stuff and give it to the poor. I think we only have to do that once, right? So I did that, and off I went. And in religious life, we have a period of postulancy before we are more formally affiliated with the church. And postulancy comes from the Latin pistulare. It means to ask for. And so it's a period of discernment. It's a period. So in our postulancy, we're supposed to become involved in some ministry or some public, something that might suggest to other people that we've had a conversion, rather than to accumulate wealth for ourselves, to be so acquirative or acquisitive of our own. So I had arrived at this place just having left my positions as a faculty member and thinking that I was the repository of all wisdom, right? And so thank God I came along just in time for the church, just to save God's sake. So my first experience was I was fired by the Missionaries of Charity. Mother Teresa's group fired me, right? Because I was wanting to tell them what to do. They seemed to have had it down pat, but I thought I could do it a little better, right? And so that was my first kind of thinking, oh my God, what have I done? So my next experience was I had been invited to the L'Arche community. The L'Arche community is a community of people that was founded by Jean Vanier. There's a wonderful book called The Broken Body. It's just a remarkable understanding of how God uses us in our humanness and in our brokenness as channels of his love. And so the L'Arche communities are faith and light communities, and they're dispersed throughout the United States. And they're largely communities of people who are mentally challenged. And people who are not mentally challenged live with them in a house, and they form a community. And the people who live in that house never have to leave. It's their home. And so I had gone to liturgy there. Every Tuesday night, they would have Mass. And they would invite the families of those who lived in the house to join them for Mass. And so I went over for Mass. And I thought, oh, this is pretty interesting. So the next week, I called the woman who was in charge of that. She was a former sister of Notre Dame for 29 years. And she left her community because they wouldn't let her live in this community. And so God called her after 29 years to live, and it was an astounding witness to me. So I went to meet with her, and I took my 21-page curriculum vitae with her, right? Because I thought, of course, you must want to see, right, all that I've done. So I sat down, and she put it aside. She didn't even look. I was like, I'm going to help you about all that. And I thought, huh. So we talked a little bit. She said to me, she said, George, how about you let us minister to you? And I was like, I needed to have a place to work, so I said, okay. So she said, come next Tuesday. And I came the next Tuesday, and people were gathering, and I said, Dolores, what do you want me to do? I thought, you must want me to do something important, right? So she said, how about you make the salads? I was like, make the salads, right? Make salad? So I was tearing lettuce apart, and it was a big kitchen, and it flowed nicely into the living room, and there was a little table set up in the altar, and I was almost in tears. I was maybe where Peter was. I was so doubtful that I had made the right decision. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought, oh my God, I'm making salads. I left my life in which I thought that I had, it had so much meaning, that every year I spoke to so many people, and every year I had been invited to this conference or to that conference, and certainly, God, you must have want me to do more than make salads. I literally was, oh, I thought, what a mistake I had made, right? And how was I ever going to, because I had sold everything. I had sold my condominium. I had given away all of my things that I had treasured. And I thought, what am I going to do? And there were four people who lived in this house, Tom and Tom and Helen and Kim. I will never forget that. In my dotage, I will never forget that. So I make these salads. This is what I'm doing. I'm almost in tears. My back is to the people. And Tom, one of the residents, he had just met me as I came in the door. He walked past me and brushed my shoulders and said, I love you. And I thought, that's what I'm doing. It was in that moment, right, that the whisper that we heard in the first reading from Kings that Elijah heard, that Peter, when he was so in need of God in his life, it was in that moment that transformed him. Things got a little better, things got a little worse, but in that moment, his ability, unbeknownst to him whatsoever, from just the place that he saw that I was making food for us, resulted in the Spirit coming, and for the rest of my year there, I got to know these two guys pretty well. I would go over on Tuesday nights, and I would shave them, and they would come over to the Friary and hang out with me a little bit, and I would take them to a sheltered workshop, and think, oh, we got to be very good friends. But it was in that moment, that whisper, right? And all of us have had that experience. All of us have been brought back from the brink by someone's love for us. And what we know from Paul is that love is inspired by God in the first place. It is the Spirit within us that cries out, Abba, Father. And so in that moment, it was astounding to me, right? And as I said, things got better and things got worse, right? But in that particular moment, the only thing that mattered then, right, was that I continued in the path that at least I was discerning God was calling me to. And I think it's true that God does call us from glory to glory. But in the moments, I think if you can find a moment in your life when you were really at a loss, when you thought that all are always lost, or that you thought that you had made the biggest mistake in your life, or that you thought, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this, right? Or now I've really done it. It is the compassion and mercy of God that moves others in our life sometimes, or even moves us to the realization somehow in that fleeting 30 seconds that all is not lost, that God's love and mercy for us contains us and holds us up. And I was thinking about that today in these readings. That not in the storm, not in the earthquake, although God sometimes does have to shake us out of our complacency, but sometimes it's in the quiet whisper of someone who says that they love me. Right, where it's in the quiet ability for you to reach out when someone's in pain to hold their hand. It's in the small ways that God speaks to us. Sometimes we need, like Peter, right? Sometimes we need to feel that the bottom of our life has fallen out, that there's nothing back to them, and that is how we turn to God. And I still think that it doesn't matter to God what is the event in our life that results in us turning towards God. It really doesn't matter, right? It's only important to us. St. Paul, as we told us that to those who love, 2 weeks ago, told us that to those who love God, all things work to be good. And so that it is that love that turns us right in that particular moment. And I think these scriptures that we have today speak volumes of that. In the second reading, which is always the middle term in the lectionary, the church in her wisdom has given us beautiful, beautiful readings, and their connectedness is astounding. So in the quiet of God's whisper, and sometimes in the midst of the storm, what we can see is the truth of creation, that God is in everything for us. And St. Paul reminds us of that. The church of Rome was split a little bit. Under Claudius, the Jews were expelled from Rome. They were told to get out. Even today, if you go to Rome, you can see the Jewish ghetto. But after Claudius died, and Nero took over, his wife, one of Nero's wives, was very favorably disposed towards the Jews until they were welcomed back. And so what had happened is that the Christians in Rome kind of grew independently as a Christian group, but the Christian Jews who were thrown out of Rome. And so that there was a bit of a conflict. So what Paul was reminding his hearers was that like Moses, if Moses could have given his life for the salvation of Israel, so would have Paul. And so Paul was reminding the Jewish Christians in relation to the Roman Christians that God brings to us a message of peace, and because of the person of Jesus Christ, that we are now the people who inherit the severed privileges of the people of Israel that God called into a special relationship. So we inherit adoption, we inherit the Torah, or the law of life, we inherit all of those seven things. And so Paul is reminding the Romans, both the Roman Christians and the Jewish Christians, that it is God who brings us together through his love in the person of Jesus Christ, and so that all division should cease. And I think in many ways, right, that's what God's love does for us, right? The divisions of our own self-doubts begin to cease, the divisions amongst us begin to fade away and become unimportant. And then it is this experience of God in the quiet moments of our life and in the big moments of our life that allow us, right, to sustain maybe a little bit of that kind. So let's continue that and hold on, right? So even in the midst of those experiences where we think that God is absent, or because we've gotten ourselves into them, we think that God is not going to hear us. It's not true, right? God always shows us the way. So let's continue in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.